plate a potential nugget.
In the book, I loved an image where you have three people on a podium and you have the picture of a bronze medalist being happier than a silver medalist. And you sort of use that to make a point about how we frame regret. Can you sort of expand on this? I showed it to my 12-year-old daughter and she got it. You know, it just made it so intuitive.
Oh, good. That, did she? But she understood the reason why?
She did. I think intuitively.
Yeah, very good.
She may not have found the language for it, but I think she got the context quickly.
That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. So this is some really interesting research started. Actually, the initial research on this came out in 1992. So it's 30 years ago at the Barcelona Olympics. Tom Gilovich at Cornell and Vicky Medvec, now at Northwestern, then at Cornell, did some really interesting research. And what they did is that they showed, as you say, the photographs of Olympians at the medal stand. And what it showed is exactly what you said. Gold medalists are ecstatic. Bronze medalists are really happy. And silver medalists aren't that happy, even though they got the silver medal at the Olympics. And so the reason has to do with, again, our incredible brains. Our brains are, the more I write about behavior and brains, the more I'm just in awe of what our brains can do. I mean, it's extraordinary what our brains can do. It's extraordinary. And one of the things our brains can do is something known as counterfactual thinking. That is, we can imagine scenarios that run counter to the facts. And there are two kinds of counterfactual thinking. One of them is a downward counterfactual, where you imagine how things could have gone worse. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like downward counterfactual. It's too complicated. I like to call it an at least. And so the bronze medalists are like, oh, at least I got a bronze medalist rather than the schmo who finished fourth, who doesn't have any medal at all. So they imagine. So here's the thing, at least make us feel better. And that's okay. That's actually a psychological, that can be a healthy way of doing things, a healthy way of interpreting events. The silver medalist is saying, if only I had kicked a little harder in the final turn, I'd have won the 100-meter freestyle race. And that's an upward counterfactual. If onlys make us feel worse, but they make us do better. And so this is another way of understanding. And so regret is the quintessential upward counterfactual. It can help us do better. It makes us feel worse and helps us do better. It helps us do better because it makes us feel worse.
So from a performance perspective, Dan, just building on what you just said, how do you work with these two, right? At some level, in a way you're saying we need to have some sort of a switch that flips. You know, when we are practicing, some sort of a upward counterfactual is helpful. But once the results are out, it helps to take the other view. So do you have a view on how we play with this?
It depends. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's see if we can figure out a career example here, which might be more relevant. So let's say that, so here we go. So let's say that somebody, we'll call him Vishal, all right? So let's say Vishal takes a job. It's a childhood friend of one of my kids, all right? So let's say Vishal takes a job and it is and he hates it. It's terrible. It's a terrible job. He really doesn't like it. Okay. And he realizes that he made some mistakes in even taking the job. It wasn't that there were warning signs ahead of time. Okay. So he's feeling regret about that. Now, what can Vishal do about that? So what Vishal can do about that is say, if only I had done more due diligence ahead of time. And research this company a little bit more. If only I had talked to three people who were in this position beforehand, I would not have made this choice. Okay. And he can take those lessons and carry them forward in looking for his next job, knowing now that he has to do some due diligence, that he has to find surrogates for that kind of job, that he has to maybe talk to his mentor, because maybe he didn't talk to his mentor to get some advice on that. Okay. So he's like, okay, I really messed up here. Now that feels bad. He can make himself feel, he can still get that instruction and mitigate some of the pain, not all of it, by saying, but at least I got paid decently, so I'm not in the hole. And so you can do both. Now, if he were simply to say, at least I'm getting paid decently, he's not going to change. He's going to be stuck in that bad situation. So it's possible to do, it's possible to do, and if only without an at least. But sometimes if you're willing to take the pain of the if only, as Vishal just did, you can mitigate some of the pain with an at least.
Got it. And is the at least the sort of the conceptual point there similar to the notion of gratitude, having gratitude for what we have?
That's interesting. That's a really interesting way to put it. I'm not sure. I never thought about it that way, but I think that's a really nice way to put it. My hunch is that they're probably adjacent or connected in the roots or somewhere. That's a great point. I never thought about that, but it probably is. At least are a way to essentially recontextualize your situation in order to make yourself feel better. But the problem is with at least, and that's okay sometimes. The problem is that at least don't help you do better. At least confer zero performance benefit. They mitigate some pain, and mitigating pain is cool, but they don't offer any instruction.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.